This podcast contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Creepy Cannabis Podcast, where we chat all things creepy, cannabis, true crime, paranormal, and weird. I'm Madeline.
I'm Rachel, and we're the opposite. We're the opposite of together right now. I can't stop laughing all of a sudden out of nowhere.
Yes.
In my insides, not outside. It's like in my head.
Outside.
Okay, I have a question. Okay. We've talked about this before, about how some people don't have an inner monologue and some people do.
Mm-hmm.
Is your inner monologue your own voice?
Because
mine's my voice.
I guess, if I were to think deeply about it. Who else's voice would it be?
Well, okay, this is TMI probably, but with my Zoloft, listen, you should only take Zoloft under supervision, yo.
Intense supervision.
I had intense, like, suicidal ideations on Zoloft, that's just the truth, and it was somebody else's voice. It was a man's voice.
Oh my lord.
It would be like, do this, do that, or it's like all the negative things I thought about myself. It was like I was hearing the inner monologue in a man's voice. But that could just be my subconscious being like, only a man would speak like this.
Hard to say. It could be.
None of that was relevant. It was just me, as usual, keeping us off course. So if we could just get back on track, that would be great.
The strain today is called Apple Fritter. It is a pretty rare strain, evenly balanced hybrid. It's a cross of the strains Sour Apple and Animal Cookies.
Mm.
Animal Cookies is good.
That actually sounds really yummy.
Mm-hmm.
The whole combo.
It has a super sweet, fruity apple flavor and light, cakey vanilla exhale. Oh, so it smells like, supposedly smells like baked apple fritter, but it smells like really much infused baked apple fritter.
I just smell like citrus right now, but maybe it truly is just when it's smoked. Because
mm-hmm.
some of it, you know, does, it'll smell one way, but it does have a flavor on your mouth when you...
Very sweet.
They poofer out there.
And it typically has 22 to 28% THC. I believe this one's 23 or 24. And it is good for treating insomnia, chronic pain, depression, mood swings, and chronic stress.
Truly.
Pretty evenly balanced. Not gonna be too anxiety-inducing or debilitating.
Your water pipe is bigger than you.
I know.
And I just think you guys should know that. It's larger than the entirety of her body. If she wasn't a tall person, it would be game over. The sweet release. Is there a...
It's pretty good.
Is the described flavor on the exhale, the vanilla?
It tastes pretty good.
Let's see. Oh god. The big Mamma Jamma got passed to me as well.
Yum.
Pray for me, y'all. Pray for me.
No, that's good.
Oh, okay. You just grabbed bits.
And I just cleaned the bong, so.
She did. She's crisp. There's ice in her.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm so short. I had to, like, put it between my legs because I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
That is a nice hit mm-hmm. from that.
Mm-hmm.
When they're taller like that, okay, so, like, my bong is, like, a short standard
yes.
pipe. So with that, does that make it less or worse in the inhale?
I would say it makes it better because it's got more time, well, more water to pass through, and then more space before it gets to your lungs.
And, like, with
and
mine,
ice.
I can't put the ice, like, hers is, like, ice in the top chamber. Mine, the ice just has to go in the water. Like,
yeah.
There's nowhere for it to sit. So I really like that because I could feel the cooling effect of the ice
mm-hmm.
through the actual smoke.
It's fantastic. It's Wait. A highly recommended way to smoke flower.
What's that bong? Where is it from? Is it
it's
a
called
ghost?
Ghost Glass. I can't find it anymore. I used to buy it back in my youth.
In your youth?
Yeah.
Wait, is that one from your youth too, or is that one newer?
Yeah, I've had this bong for probably at least 6 or 7 years.
I feel like I've never seen that when you
at
lived
least,
at the house.
At least. Probably when I was in Baltimore still.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely when I was in Baltimore.
So. Well, it's getting the job done. I'm only going to do the one hit because
this shit is thick glass.
Yeah.
It's been with me from Maryland to New York, back to Maryland.
It's been through it. Mm-hmm. She's been through it. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off again.
Sorry. I was done.
Oh, great. Okay. I just have learned about myself that I have approximately 14 seconds after smoking before I go stupid.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so the actual episode is going to be on Phil Hartman, who some of you that are older like me may remember, primarily from SNL, and he was unfortunately killed in a murder-suicide by his wife, which we're going to talk about. But before we do, we're going to just get a little serious for a second, okay? Okay? Because y'all been acting a fool, and now we have to talk about it. And by y'all, I mean humanity, not you guys specifically. So, if you have access to the internet, TikTok, anything, you've likely heard about Mahsa Amini, who is a 22-year-old Iranian woman who was killed by the Mehrdadi police on September 22nd. And for those of you who actually don't know, because I had actually never heard of the Mehrdadi police before, they are Islamic religious police, and it's exactly like it sounds. Like, they arrest you based on your moral choices. It's,
I would not do well there.
No, I've seen Sex in the City too. No thanks. I'd be Samantha and up in that biatch. And so you might be thinking, like, oh my God, what could have happened? So severe that they felt the only punishment was death for this woman, this 22-year-old, basically kind of on the closer end of child than adult. Like, why? What? Well, gotta let you know. She wasn't wearing her hijab or wasn't wearing it correctly while visiting the Capitol. A hijab is a headdress that is intended to cover the hair. From my brief research and understanding, I think some people, it's specific to their religion. Some it is specific to, like, I had used to clean homes for some Orthodox Jewish families, and they had believed that only your husband or other women could see your natural hair. So there's things like that. So they had felt that she, I saw two reports. One said she wasn't wearing one. One said she wasn't wearing it correctly. It really doesn't fucking matter either way.
No, it certainly doesn't.
Her death, for like 5 minutes, they were trying to say, oh, well, she had a heart attack or this happened or that happened. But based on eyewitness accounts and her autopsy report and her scans, she was beaten to death. She died of a brain hemorrhage. She was beaten to death for not wearing a piece of fabric on her head. So her death, I mean, at this point, it's 2022, and I will say, like, people as a whole were like, we're not having it. So thousands of Iranian women and even men started taking to the street in protest. They were like, yeah, absolutely not. Like, this is a child.
Absolutely.
This, not. She's not a child. Do you know what I mean, though? She was an adult, a young woman, but like, she had just started her fucking life. Like, you are young. She had so much life still. So people are going into the streets and they are burning those fucking hijabs. They're like, fuck that. And I saw some fucking videos of these beautiful women before, well, we get to the next part, but they're literally spinning around and dancing and doing these beautiful dances and ripping off their hijabs and burning those motherfuckers. And then there was one video that I saw of a woman, and I want to say she was sitting up on a car. I can't remember, but there was, like, all these people around, and she's going to, like, cut her hair. And then you see this man jump up there, and I'm like, oh, no, he's going to assault her. Nope, he grabbed those scissors, said, bet, bitch, started chopping away. Because even the men, they're, everyone's sick of it. Like, they're living in hell. So all these women, all these men, everybody's coming out and protesting. There have been casualties, as you can imagine. Well, the Iranian government, they were losing control. So they were like, okay, we got a media blackout. So they completely shut down their access to information, to communication, and to the rest of the world because they want them to feel isolated and weak and with no one.
Mm-hmm.
It very much mimics a narcissistic and abusive relationship scenario in which the intimate partner very slowly isolates you from every tie you have so that when they officially go to take over, you're dependent upon them in a Stockholm way. And that's what the government is trying to do. And you see that in so many other countries. So now they're completely isolated and they're just by themselves. They're just getting killed and beat in the streets. And mm-hmm. they're just like, fuck it. All we can do is say absolutely not. And we're just still going to protest. And they're doing it. So, you know, all we can really do from here is talk about it. We can donate. We're going to put a link in our show notes, which I'll talk about later, where you can donate financially. You know, there's only so much you can do, but there's always something you can do. So for us, it's talking about it, making sure that people that don't know about it are hearing about it, because it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable to me that as sentient human beings, we are no longer, and honestly have never really been, in control of our own body, our own mm-hmm. humanity, our physical, the thing you were born into, completely out of your control. And they're like, nope, doesn't belong to you. Mm-hmm. To have the authority to beat a woman to death for some arbitrary command that's based on a human man's visual opinion of how it looked. There's no fact, there's no science, there's no math. This is, I think that looks wrong, so you deserve to die, is what's happening. It's unacceptable to me that in parts of India, couples have to hide away and live in compounds when they're in love with people outside of the approved system, and women are being beaten and stabbed to death by their own fucking families. There are videos of women being stabbed to death by their brothers and their fathers because they loved a man who didn't fit in with who they were supposed to marry, whether it be an arranged marriage or a class system, wherever you live. There are people, we are literally consuming junk. I watch TikToks like 6 hours a night, and there are people fucking dying for loving a person, which we experience all the time in the homosexual community with people that want to love in the same sex, or they want to love different. Mm-hmm. It's like the hatred is so fucking insane to me. How can you be so angry to mm-hmm. beat someone to death for existing, is what I feel. And we just have these big men running around like fucking babies throwing tantrums half the time, directing all this hatred at women, because it's like, okay, well, we're big and strong, so we're going to attack what we perceive to be less than us. Mm-hmm. And these women are like, yeah, fuck you. Less than nothing, bitch. Kumbaya around this fire. So,
fuck you,
it's like, even in America, we're the land of the free. No, everything comes at a fucking cost. My niece, who is not married, who has a daughter, who is expensive as fuck. Mm-hmm. She's a great mom. She's killing herself to take care of her, and she's got state insurance because of her circumstances, and she still... When my goddaughter was born, her bill was $12,000. $12,000 to give birth assisted. For what? For what? I pay $333 a month in health insurance. I still have to pay a copay every single time I freaking go. Mm-hmm. I still get a bill later. I still get bills for hundreds upon thousands, depending on the service.
Mm-hmm.
For what? For the right to exist on this earth.
Don't they need us to pay taxes? You'd think they want to keep us alive to pay the taxes.
Well, they don't need to keep us alive because they're forcing people to continue to have babies. So they don't need to. That's what I'm saying. Like, we're facing a formula shortage, and the only solution is you have to have more babies. Fuck you.
No, what they're facing is a shortage of people who will work menial jobs. And so now they're having people who... are forced into poverty.
Correct.
Because those are the ones who can't flee and go elsewhere or lose a day of work to get it done.
1,000%. People that if you miss a day of work, you can't fucking eat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've always gotten on my high horse about that part of democracy. I feel like they encourage fatherless homes mm-hmm. in order to give women benefits. It's like, you can only get a benefit or help if you're not married.
Yeah.
So your husband's just supposed to be fucking rich? Your baby daddy just gotta be rich because you had a kid together? I feel bad for men too. Like, what the fuck? So what? Like, I mean... My husband works his ass off. Like, mm-hmm. I work my ass off. Like, things happen.
I know.
But here we are. It's like, hey, I mean, I have to pay, what, $15 for a box of fucking cotton to shove up my own vagina because I had the audacity to be born with a period.
Literally.
Like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
Pay extra.
What do you mean? Ew, it's gross. We don't want to see it. We don't want to hear about it. So you have to hide it. And now you have to pay to hide it. And then we're going to tax you on that bodily function. It's fine.
I'm sick of it.
I'm fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
The point I'm trying to make is that I feel like people are starting to wake up, and we're not allowing ourselves or other people to be silenced in general. We are connected. We're not stupid. We can speak to people in all corners of the earth, and mm-hmm. we're starting to talk. We're starting to say, hey, wait a second. how come in America your citizens are dying because you can't provide health care? And we're saying, hey, how come in Iran women are being murdered because you saw a strand of fucking hair?
Like, who cares?
Like, what do you mean? Who is she tempting with her hair? You know, I'm about to go over there.
They would be concerned walking through America.
They'd be fucking mortified if they walked through, like, a middle school in America.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
A high school spring formal.
I can't. Not a spring formal. My thing is, I try to keep things light. Maddie tries to keep things light on these podcasts. You know, it's meant to be educational, interesting, sometimes, yeah, a little spooky, a little bit on the edge, but, like, the real horrors that are happening in this world are unacceptable. To have some people having billions of dollars and some people having not even dollars.
Mm-hmm.
How? It makes no sense to me. So, we are not turning a blind eye. We can't. I feel like people in general can't anymore. And so the link that we're going to include in the show notes is the Women's Committee NCRI. So look, no donations too small. No act of support or help is too small. If you financially can't afford to donate, you can make a post of solidarity on one of your socials. You can educate yourself on some of the other things that are going on. I have to educate myself every single day. I was the most conservative human being you've ever met in your life, literally, until I had an abortion. And it's weird because I had never thought about what it meant to have religious privilege. To have the privilege of just thinking, there's this sentient being that's just going to forgive all my problems and everything's going to be sunshine and roses and I'm just going to have babies and it's perfect. And instead of teaching you the reality that God also is like, just a regular, like, he's like, hey, do your best. Here's this fucking playground.
Good luck.
So, you know, it's just like, we just got to wake up a little bit. It cannot be like this. It can't go on like this. Women unable to be home with their own children. I mean, people unable to decide how they want to live their fucking lives. I don't fucking care what anyone wants to do with their body, their relationship, their consensual existence is none of my business. Unless you want to start murdering people for existing. Because now I'm mad. I'm angry. And I'm Italian. And a little bit white trash. And so you see what's cooking up here.
So you see the problem here.
You've seen Jersey Shore. I'm basically next door. Maddie's a lot classier. She's going to be the one pulling me back at the bar. Like, no, no. But, like, not pulling me back hard enough to stop me from punching America in the face. You know? Sorry. I don't know why America got shadow on this time. Like, it wasn't even about them. But every once in a while, I just got to be like, don't forget you, motherfucker.
You bitch.
You got to get good. All right. Let me get into this actual case. Please hold. I am trying a new note app, and it's going poorly. It's going poorly.
It's going very poorly.
So, and by very poorly, I mean it's embarrassing. Okay. So, we're going to be talking about Philip Edward Hartman, born September 24th, 1948, and he passed May 28th, 1998. So, it's quite an old case. But I'm old. I was 10 years old when he passed, so this was for my youth. Okay?
I was four.
You're four. I see. I was 10. So Phil Hartman was a Canadian-American actor. He was a comedian, a screenwriter, a graphic designer. He was like a jack of all trades. He just, like, was busy. He was busy, okay? He had things to do at all times. He was born in Brantford, Ontario, in Canada, and his family moved to the United States when he was 10. He graduated from California State University in Northridge, and his degree was in graphic arts. He designed album covers for bands including, I don't know if it's Poco or Paco, and America. In 1975, he joined the comedy group The Groundlings, where he helped Paul Rubens develop his character Pee-wee Herman.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Pee-wee's Playhouse hit.
Pee-wee Herman freaks me out.
Mm-hmm. Now?
I think
when I was a kid, I used
because,
to watch those.
No. Yes. So as a child, because I was sexually assaulted as a child, I don't know if I just had a vibe, But that's fair. His face at him, and oh my god. Okay, I'm not saying this person is, but I've always gotten the heebie-jeebies from Bill Murray's face.
Bill Murray?
I don't like...
Oh my god, I love Bill Murray.
Sean does too, and it just it's not his fault. It's just his face. He's got a face that's like not... You get, if you know, you know. Okay? Well, that's how I felt. Sorry about it. Not that sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, so he helped him write come up with the character of Pee-wee Herman. He co-wrote the film Pee-wee's Big Adventure and made recurring appearances as Captain Carl on Ruben's show Pee-wee's Playhouse. Mm-hmm. Hold on 1 second. I had a text that and I just want to make crazy. Sure everything's fine. In 1986, 2 years before my birth, Hartman joined the NBC sketch comedy show Saturday Night Live, arguably his most notorious kind of situation. He was actually on there for 8 seasons until 94. Sorry, I had the hiccups. He was nicknamed Glue for his ability to hold the show together and help other cast members. He won a Primetime Emmy Award for his work in 89. And in 95, he starred as Bill McNeil in the sitcom News Radio after declining to return to SNL. He also voiced a couple characters on The Simpsons and had minor roles in the films Houseguest, Sergeant Bilko, Jingle All the Way, and Small Soldiers. Have you ever seen Small Soldiers?
No.
Oh my gird. We are fucking watching it.
No.
No?
What is it about?
What do you think it's about?
I don't know. Something boring.
This is very important. What do you genuinely think it's about? Do you give me any guess? What first comes to your mind? Your natural instinct.
Small soldiers.
Small in what way? What are they? They children? They're miniature? You think it's about war?
I don't know.
Small soldiers. Wait, hold on. Now I'm like, fuck, am I mixing it up with a different... Hold on, guys. We need to take a brief pause. This is very important. I need to see if she's thinking of the same thing I'm thinking of.
Look, I'm not thinking of anything.
Yes, yeah, I'm right. Small Soldiers.
I wasn't thinking of anything.
She had zero thoughts. It has Kirsten Dunst in it. Mm. David Cross. Jay Moore. And it's about toys that come alive.
Okay, literally that was going to be what I was going to say. No. But I was like, you know what? No. I'm not going to be the one to say it.
No.
And look like an asshole.
No, no. First of all, it came out the day before my birthday. And literally, these toys come to life. And this, like, boy and Kirsten mm-hmm. Dunst. You've seen it, probably.
I've seen it.
Okay.
I've absolutely seen
it. I absolutely love that movie. And I'm not sorry. When they have, like, the assembly line of, like, Barbies that are getting, like, jacked, they all look like Angelica's fucking Barbie from Rugrats.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. Moving on. He had 2 divorces prior to his marriage to Bryn Amdahl in 1987. Excuse me 1 second. Please hold.
Your excuse.
The dryness hit. It hit so hard.
The dryness.
Anyway. With Bryn, he had 2 children. Their marriage was kind of rocky. And it was kind of known to be rocky. Like, it wasn't a huge secret because Bryn was into drugs. And she was actually, like, violent towards Hartman, so he was the victim of domestic assault. And he was frequently, as a result, like, not home. He would just kind of, like, run away from it and avoid it. And so, ultimately, she decided that the only solution was death. So, we're going to talk a little bit about... Because, I mean, you can look into, like, all the different things he did. This guy's got a list of, like, a billion things. Mm-hmm. He truly did everything. He was in all the shows, all the comedy, all the graphic design. Like, he just was living. Mm-hmm. And you can read about that if you want. But I'm not going to bore you with those details because they are plentiful because he had a full life as a human being. Okay? Okay, anyway. So, we're going to talk about his death because that's what we do here, sadly. So, on May 27th, 1998, his wife, Bryn, visited the Italian restaurant Buca di Beppo. In Encino, California. Okay, here's what's so crazy. Did you hear me, like, stutter then for a second? Sean and I went to a restaurant with this name in the mall near where we live. And I always remember it because on the way out, one of our friend's daughters at the mall door had her hand in the sliding glass door, and it went to slide over on her hand, and her mother went full mama bear rage strength and grabbed that door. This massive, I mean, this door was like taller than four of Sean, and he's 6'5". It was like a huge glass door, and she ripped it back off of her daughter's arm like a She-Hulk. And I was like, oh my God. And yeah. I have never forgotten that moment or that restaurant.
That's what you do.
So, congratulations, Tiffany. You are the best mom in the world. So, anyway, she visited the restaurant with producer and writer Christine Zander, who said she was in a good frame of mind. Like, they had drinks. Everything seemed fine. After returning home, Bryn and Phil had a heated argument, and ultimately he went to bed. Like, they fought until they couldn't fight anymore, and then he went to bed. And sometime before 3 a.m. on May 28th, as he slept in his bed minding his own business, she fatally shot him just one time between the eyes, and then once in the throat, and then once again in his upper chest with a Charter Arms 38 caliber handgun. He was only 49 years old. This is a big reason that this case always stood out to me. Well, not always stood out to me, more recently, in addition to knowing about it. At the time of the murder, she had been taking Zoloft, and she was mixing Zoloft with alcohol. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, she had recently used cocaine, and let's be honest, like, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. But I am, like, I'm getting to a point where I'm almost about to do a true crime story on Zoloft. Like, that's, I mean, that's where I'm getting. True crime. Like, I'm truly struggling so hard trying to get off of it. Like, it is the most dangerous thing I feel like I've ever put in my body. And that's just my personal opinion and the experience of myself and my friends and the people that I know that have been on it. Anyway, so after this had happened, Bryn drove to the home of her friend Ron Douglas and immediately confessed to the killing, but he didn't believe her. He thought she was just, like, on drugs, like, you know what I mean? He was like, you know, she's got problems, like, she's probably just having, like, a whatever.
Yeah, I definitely won't believe her.
Well, he was like, let's go back, like, I'll go check it out, because he really thought she was just having, like, a drug episode, like, a, sure, you know, a freak out. Well, so they drove back in separate cars, and then she called another friend and confessed a second time. Ron Douglas saw the body of Phil Hartman, then he called 911, and this was at 6:20 in the morning. The police got there, they escorted Mr. Douglas and the Hartman's two kids from the house, by which time Bryn had locked herself in the bedroom, and very shortly after, she committed suicide by self-inflicted gunshot wound. They ultimately said his death was caused by domestic discord between the couple. And a friend said that Bryn had trouble controlling her anger, and she got attention by losing her temper. Another reason this stands out to me is because that is also my trauma response. I get very, very angry, and so I've had to learn over the years to, like, let Sean walk away. Like, I don't need to continue to engage in, like, verbal altercation. Sometimes I do be losing my cool, like that time with the COVID thing. Sometimes I do be calling him names. Were they lies?
Mm. Oh, for me.
Yeah. Was he wearing a Make America Great Again hat at the time?
Yes.
Thank you. A neighbor of the Hartmans told a CNN reporter that the couple had marital problems, but another person, actor Steve Guttenberg, said that they had been a very happy couple and always had the appearance of being, well, balanced, and he had never seen anything tumultuous. Bryn's brother, who was named Gregory, filed a wrongful death suit in 99 against both Pfizer, which is the manufacturer of Zoloft, and her child psychiatrist, Arthur Sorosky, who had provided samples of the antidepressant. Here's another thing. Let me just stop you right there. You don't sample antidepressants.
Mm-mm.
They chemically bond to some shit in your brain. Sorry, I'm not a scientist. You are, all I know is you are not supposed to suddenly stop them either, and I've done so. I've forgotten to take it for a long time, and, like, it, you, no, no, no. It
can change your brain chemistry.
It literally made me a different person. Like, mm-hmm. I could have, like, just gone around and just offed a few people that day. I was like, girl, you need to stay in and watch Criminal Minds, sis.
You need to stop.
You need to take a nap. Climb under Maddie's duvet. It's new. Anyway.
It is comfy.
So, yes, he had provided her the samples. Excuse me. Phil Hartman's friend and former colleague, John Lovitz, Oh, I love John Lovitz. He accused Hartman's news radio co-star at the time, Andy Dick, of reintroducing Brynn to cocaine, which I 100% believe. He's a real douche. Yeah, he seems like the type to do that shit. I mean, at the end of the day, she chose to take it, but whatever. So Andy Dick claimed that he didn't know anything about her condition, and later, John Lovitz said that he no longer blamed Andy Dick for Hartman's murder. But then in 2006, Lovitz claimed that Andy Dick approached him at a restaurant and said, "I put the Phil Hartman hex on you. You're the next one to die."
Oh.
That's fucking rude. Of course, John Lovitz, being John Lovitz, had him ejected from the restaurant. And then the following year at the Laugh Factory Comedy Club in Los Angeles, Lovitz and Dick had another argument, with Lovitz slamming Dick's head into the bar, and Andy Dick asserted he was not at fault in relation to Hartman's death.
Wow.
I'm like, this guy was really so upset about his friend's death that he, like, murked this motherfucker at a bar. Brynn's sister, Catherine Omdahl, and brother-in-law, Mike Wright, raised the two children. And their will stipulated that each child would inherit money over several years after turning 25. The total value of Hartman's estate was estimated at $1.23 million. In accordance with his wishes, his body was cremated by Forest Lawn Memorial Park and Mortuary in Glendale, California, and his ashes were scattered over the Santa Catalina Islands, Emerald Bay. He left a huge legacy. I still remember being a child and just seeing everybody talk about it on the news and how upset and shocked everyone was. And then even, you know, younger SNL comedians like Adam Sandler, who I really love, you know, like referencing these people that were so influential to them. And it's just really sad because when you really look into it, it truly does seem like this woman just wasn't getting enough help, and then combining it with, you know, things that you shouldn't do. And I really feel like it could be avoided. It's just more people, as I always say, just talked about these things. You know, if my therapist had explained these things about Zoloft, or when I told her I was having these feelings, instead of increasing my dose over and over and over again, you know, and ultimately putting me in a position where I feel like I have to go off of something on my own with no medical guidance because I'm not being listened to. So all I would say is I completely support mental health, whatever you need to do. And if that's for you, it's medication, it's smoking weed, it's whatever it is. I just want everybody to do their research and to really, I think as a whole, especially women, we need to stop saying yes on the spot. We have this tendency when we're presented with a question or an option or whatever, we feel like we have to answer right then. And boom, boom, boom. Because as women, you just have to be immediately servicing somebody else 24/7. So I would say challenge yourself to say no when your doctor says, "Hey, I want you to do this. I'll call you back." I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying give yourself the space to then research it and just kind of understand it a little bit more. And definitely please don't mix recreational drugs with your medications. Because I love you and I don't want you guys to unalive yourselves, okay? Okay? Okay. I don't want to have to fight you. Okay, I love you. Okay, bye.
Oh, bye.